God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. We thank you that you every week you give us this opportunity to come together and through song and through your word as we take the Lord's Supper, tell the incredibly wondrous story of your love, the gospel, your power to save us. Now, God, as we open up your word and read, I pray that you would indeed make what we read living and powerful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so flip over to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. There was a part of the passage from last week that we kind of jumped over. I don't think we even read it. Maybe you were more eagle-eyed than I was. I don't think we read it. We definitely didn't discuss it. And it's a big part of the passage. It's a big deal in this passage. So read verse 16, 1 John 4, verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected in us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. There's a big idea in this text, which is God's love gives us confidence, gives us security before him. And that would bring us to a question right off the bat, which is, well, why would we need this confidence, this kind of security before God? Why would we need to be reassured in this way, the way that he's going to reassure us in this passage? Well, this passage takes for granted that we do need confidence, that maybe we would lack confidence before God, that we could feel insecure, that we could feel fear before God. How does that manifest itself? Because he, by writing this, he's taking for granted that is actually something that is a thing for us. We have a lack of confidence. We could have fear, insecurity. How is that seen? How does that come out of us? How can we recognize that in ourselves? I think sometimes it's when we think about ourselves and God and we don't feel secure. We feel doubts. Does he really love me? How could he love me in spite of how bad and how weak I am? It comes out of us when we think about, well, like John said in this passage, the day of judgment. When I contemplate whatever it is, if I have a close brush in traffic, I'm like, ooh, that could have been it. Whatever the thing is that triggers it, someone else passes. A dear friend passed this week. Those moments, it triggers something in your mind. You say, oh, I'm going to be before the throne someday. I'm going to be before God in judgment. And that can make us feel just fear and panic. It's this lack of confidence, this fear before God is seen in us, I think, also when we contemplate our present moment weaknesses, the temptations that call to us, the things that in the past we've done that we know I shouldn't have done that. It's also, I think, can be seen in us when we feel different emotions. There's different emotions we feel that maybe on face value we wouldn't normally associate with being related to, well, that's a lack of trust in God. We don't see them like that necessarily, but when we feel emotions like worry or insecurity, envy, condemnation, all of these emotions come from fear. They come from lack of trust, lack of confidence. Worry is fear for the future, right? Envy is fear of having less, fear of being left out. Insecurity is fear of what might happen. Condemnation is fear of punishment. It's that you can draw a direct line between many of these emotions, we would say they're negative emotions, or they're, even if you read the fruits of the Spirit, they're sinful emotions. These emotions that we shouldn't have, and our trust or lack of trust in God, because the God's child knows that he is beloved, he's secure. And when we know that God has us in our past and our future in his hands, we don't feel fear and worry and insecurity and envy and condemnation. But many times that isn't our reality. We don't feel that kind of confidence in our relationship with God. And so we feel these emotions. And in this text, God gives us, he gives us a reason to have confidence, to have absolute security. He connects his love that his children receive with the kind of security and confidence that his children can and should have. The love that God gives us, the love that we that we're supposed to give other people, that gives us confidence. It removes fear. That's the premise of the text we're going to look at. So we're going to read, as we read this text, okay, so some of the text, we're going to read more than the three verses I read at the beginning, because this thread of confidence in God is woven through the whole passage. Also woven through the passage is what we looked at last week and the previous weeks, which is the love of God, the love that God gives his children, the love that we're supposed to give other people, this commandment, love others as I have loved you, what we've been focusing on, that's woven through it. But also woven through this whole passage is the kind of confidence and security that we can have before God, the confidence that takes away our fears as we go through life. And he's going to start building layer by layer this confidence and why and how we have confidence before the Father. Look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Now, as I said, there's two things. Last week we saw the love side of this. Today we're going to look at the confidence and fear removing side of this passage. So it's going to feel that maybe as we read that we're kind of in balance, that there's part of it that we're not looking at. Well, that was last week's message. So for this verse, we start seeing the first layer of the confidence, of the trust that we can have in Christ, the thing that gives us confidence. What is it? We've been born of God. We've been born again. We're his children. We've been born again into his family. That should give us confidence before the Father. We know God. We know God. That's he's not a concept. He's not someone who's far off. He's our Father. If we're in Christ, he's our Father, and we know him. That is a reality if we're his children. Look at verse 8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God has loved us first. That's key to understanding and to having, to feeling confidence in our relationship with God. It gives us confidence because that means that this was an unmerited love. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We didn't have to do something to be worthy of it. So we don't have to earn it even now. We don't have to be worthy to maintain the Father's love. He loved us before we loved him. We didn't have to earn it to get it, and we don't have to earn it to keep getting it. Of course, we can walk away from God. We can leave God behind. We can abandon God. We've seen people do it. Maybe you've done it. We've walked through seasons of our life where we've walked away from it. We can do that. It's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is directly tied to the fact that our behavior, isn't the reason why God loves us. And if anything, that should give us another, just a layer of security, a big old, if I would have thought of this example before, I would have found the perfect time in the message to say it. This is probably not the perfect time, but what comes to mind is when I take a nap in the afternoon, I've reached that age where I need 15 minutes. Not 30, that's too much. I wake up all tired and stuff, groggy. 15, 20 minutes, we have a weighted blanket. I feel so good to wrap that around yourself, and it just smothers you and traps you. And security blanket. This, what John is saying, is that kind of just security blanket that should lay over us, remove our fear, and make us feel confidence. The fear that I'm not good enough, that I will never be good enough, that God might stop loving me. I'm not good enough. And he loved me before I was even how I am now. And he will love me no matter what. And the reason why, that's the verse 10, what we looked at last week, sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. The reason why that can fill us with security and comfort and confidence is because it is for, because of another that he loves us. We have confidence before God because in Christ we've received propitiation. He lived the perfect life in our place. He died on the cross in our place. We cannot be worthy of God's love, but he makes us worthy. Jesus's life and his sacrifice makes us worthy, and that gives us confidence before the Father. Keeps building. Look at verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. If, so there's an if in here, right? If we recognize the Savior, and that's just not saying, you know, shout out to Jesus and wearing a cross around your neck. And if Jesus is your God, if you've given yourself to him in repentance and baptism, if he is your Lord and your King, if you've pledged loyalty to him, if you recognize with your life that he is God, if you are in Christ, if we're in Christ, God is in us. God habits in his children through his Spirit. God abides, is in us. And when we belong to Christ and we love with his love, the God of the universe inhabits, dwells, lives in us. And we feel that. And he interacts with our mind and he interacts with our spirit. And that can and should and must give us confidence before the Father in our relationship with him. Because if anything makes me feel confident before God, it's the fact that he is in me. Look at verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. Because God is love, and we are in him, and we abide in his love, we've received his love, we give his love to others. Again, there's conditionals in this, right? This is not something he's saying to someone who has not entered into Jesus. This is not something he's saying to someone who has entered into Jesus and then has abandoned and walked away from Jesus. He's saying, if you abide, if you stay, if you are in him, if you are in God, if we're in his love and God is in us, and God's love is perfected in his children. How? What? How? Because we've received his perfect love, and we give that love to the world, and that love unites us to our Father. By this, and because of this, we can have confidence before God. When we imagine that day standing before his throne, whenever your moment is or my moment, whenever we imagine that moment, instead of absolute panic, we can have confidence because his Spirit in us makes us more and more like him as we love others with the same love that he's given us. And seeing that work of God in us, that reality in our lives, that should give us immense confidence, because it's obvious that we're his children. His Spirit is drawing me to be more and more like him. He's changing and transforming us. He loves us. We're in his love. He's changing so that when we, on that day of judgment, we know that we are not going to stand before a wrathful king, but rather our Father who loves us with perfect love. And his Spirit has been drawing us to become more and more like him along the way. Look at verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. The perfect love of God, from God, that his children receive, can and should eliminate our fear. It should give us confidence before the Father. That's why the big idea from this text was the love of God gives us confidence before him. And as we live life, because fear comes when we know we're going to receive punishment. It's when you know all day long that your dad's going to come home from work and you're going to get a spanking. There's one already queued up, and no matter how good you are the rest of the day, there's already one on the books. Not personal experience. Okay, yes, personal experience. Fear comes when we don't know what the future is going to bring, and it could be bad. Fear comes when we know we've done something bad and we deserve something horrible. And in Christ, he said, we could be completely confident, completely secure, because we've received the perfect love of God. And the more that we believe that, that drives out fear. The more that we believe and know and rest in who we are in the Savior, the more that that reality informs our life and, listen, our emotions. Because fear is an emotion, right? The more that informs our emotions, the more that fear and worry and doubt and envy and insecurity will fade away out of our lives. And now that is something that as a person living life, I want to grab onto, because I don't like going through life with fear and worry and nervous and insecurities and being envious. I don't like that. I don't want to live like that. And this, trusting in the love that God gives his children, is the path for us to see those dissipate out of our lives. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's where we're in today. That'll be the last layer of security that John gives us in this text. He loved us first. I know it sounds like we just saw that a minute ago in the middle of the text. We kind of did, but he says it again, says it more succinctly, says it beautifully. He loved us first. Before we could love other people, he's telling us to love other people. Before we could love other people, he loved us first. Before we could even love him, he loved us. God decides to love us, to rescue us, to call us, to save us. What can inspire more confidence before him than that? He decided to love me first. The love of God gives us confidence before him, confidence of our salvation, eternal confidence. The kind of confidence, listen, that only comes when someone completely and fully loves you and you know it. When someone loves you without conditions, without reserve, without limits, not because of who you are or for what you're going to do. When you're loved like that, that makes you feel a kind of confidence and security. You could take on lions with your bare hands. You could go up against any difficulty. You feel absolute peace, and then you feel content and you're happy as you go through life. For some of us, that kind of love, the closest we've gotten close to that kind of love, maybe from our parents. Maybe for others, it's we've gotten close to that love and experiencing that kind of total unconditional love in marriage, maybe. Or maybe you have a friend who loves you like that. Or maybe you think about your kids and you think, yeah, they experience that kind of love. They don't know it. Don't appreciate it fully, but they do. Some of us have never experienced that kind of unconditional love, and none of us have experienced it perfectly from another person. But all of us, that's what this text is telling us, all of us can experience that kind of unconditional, I know I'm loved, I'm completely secure, I could take on the world kind of love from our Heavenly Father, which brings us to our application. That is maybe the reason, that is a reason, big reason, huge reason to give yourself to Jesus. If you are not a Christian, listen, if you've never made the decision to surrender to Him, you can have that kind of complete confidence before the Father that He's describing here. That is a reason, a huge reason to make the decision to surrender to Jesus, to repent and be baptized, to become a child of God. When you do that, you will receive the complete love of the Father, and you will feel peace and confidence and security in the deepest part of your heart. And in this community, when you say, I want that, tell someone. And for those of us who are Christians, shouldn't we be the most confident, not in a proud, brash kind of way, but just secure, full of peace, courageous even? Shouldn't those be the kind of words that describe us as we go through life? So the question then for us is, if we are a Christian and we want to apply this to our lives, would be, what do I do in those moments when I don't feel that? When I feel anxiety, I feel worry, I feel fear, I feel envy. I think in those moments, the first step is we need to learn to recognize this isn't just who I am. This isn't because of what that other person did and they said the thing, or I don't know what'll happen at work. We need to start recognizing those emotions for what they are. They're a lack. They show a lack of trust in God. And in those moments, what if we were to just, as our application from this, the next time I feel a little bit of envy, feel a little bit of worry, anxiety, what if we were just to say to ourselves, remind ourselves what John told us here. Say things like, God loves me. He loved me first. I'm His child. He is in me. His Spirit is in me. Nothing can separate me. I know that's another passage, right? But it's the same book. Nothing can separate me from the love of the Father that I have. And say those things, the things that are from this passage, bring in Romans chapter 8. Say those words to yourself and let God take away the anxiety and the worry and the fear as we go through life, as we trust more and more in Him. Now we're going to end by celebrating not just the security, the confidence that we can have before the Father, but the reason why we have that confidence. Read verse 16 again. So we have come to know and believe the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected in us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. As we take the bread, we take the juice, we take communion together, we remember why we can say yes and amen to that kind of confidence. We can say, I have that. I can feel that. The Spirit inside of me affirms that. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's because He gave His body, His blood was shed. Because of that, we can have this kind of confidence before the Father, because we received all of His love, and we know that. And as we remember and we take the bread and the cup, we remember the love that He gave us. That's why we remember, to remember and for that to invade our hearts again, so that we can be thankful. And in the moment of silence, as we take the bread and the cup in our hearts, let's be thankful. Let's recommit our loyalty to the one who loved us first. God, we come to you and we thank you. You are good and kind and loving, and you love us. And for those of us who are not yet your children this morning, who are reading this and listening to this together with us, God, we pray that you would pull on their hearts and make it be just unavoidable, inescapable, that they would have to give themselves to you and surrender and repent and be baptized and enter into your family. For those of us who are your children, God, we thank you that we can have this kind of absolute and utter confidence before you as we go through life. And also, we thank you for Jesus. More than anything, we thank you for him and for the cross and the fact that because of what he did, we can be your children. And that is incredible. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.